Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the Wendy's Big Show on a Friday. Welcome in, one and all. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, alongside former Packer running back Gary Ellerson. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola, filling in for the fourth straight day for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. He will be back on Monday. We'll also hear from Leroy Butler. He'll leap his way into the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios coming up at 3 o'clock. A lot to get to on today's show. I mean, we are jam-packed on a Friday, which is always a good thing. Coming up at 3 o'clock, we talked a lot about college football yesterday after the Big Ten is now going to have a conference-only season. But then the next step after that is, will there be any college football? Is there a chance that we won't have college football at all this year? We'll talk about that at 3 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, it is a Top 5 Friday on The Fan. And
I'm gonna have a problem with that, Joe.
What's that? College football?
Top five Friday.
Uh-oh. See, Leroy was texting us, and his top five might be very, interesting, controversial. Because see, what we're doing is at 4 o'clock, we're doing the top five best professional athletes in the United States today.
Correct.
And Leroy texted us and said that his top five is going to be all wide receivers and NBA guys. And I think he's looking at it from the pure athleticism standpoint. I'm interpreting it as just who are the best five guys right now in sports today.
That's the way I'm seeing it.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so Gary, you and me are on the same page. We'll see what.
But I still got a problem with my top five. But yeah,
believe me, it's not easy.
Fluid situation.
Fluid situation. It's not easy. I'll tell you that right now. So we'll get into that at 4 o'clock. We'll see what Gary, Leroy, and what I have as well. Also, we got a lot of guests coming on today at 2:48. Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker, friend of the show, friend of the station. He will be joining us. We'll get his thoughts. The latest with the NFL. We'll also ask him because he went to Princeton, and we saw the Ivy League was the first conference to shut things down. We'll get his thoughts on that at 2:48. At 4:48, always a pleasure to have former Packers Vice President Andrew Brandt on. He has been very opinionated on social media these days about pretty much everything regarding the NFL. And then at 5:35, we will talk to Nicole Auerbach. She was the first to break the news yesterday. She writes for The Athletic about the Big Ten and their decision to move forward with a conference-only season. So we'll get her thoughts on everything in the college football landscape at 5:35. So we're going to start things off, though, with something that has been coming out the last couple of days. We saw the Bill Michaels show. We saw the morning show, Bart Winkler. We saw everyone really weigh in, and it's
well,
now.
Well, I got confused today, Joe.
Why?
Because I thought I heard Bill Michaels doing Bart Winkler's show. Did I hear that?
You are correct. So Tim Allen had to leave early.
Oh.
At 9. And then Sparky just asked Bill, hey, do you want to just take the last hour of the show? And Bill said, yeah, sure, no problem. So,
is that what happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The big unit wasn't doing a double duty deal. It was just an extra hour.
I thought he was doing a double duty deal because I came in on it at the end. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have done the last hour if they wanted me to. Somebody would have called me.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever done a morning show? I mean, like, back in the... Did you do something like way back in the day, morning-wise?
Oh, no, I did. I did. Was it 9 to 11? Yeah, 9 to 11. We used to have a 9 to 11 spot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
I started off doing a post-game show with Spark Dog. Then I did such a good job with that, and they created a 9 to 11 show with me and Cliff Saunders.
Yep.
And then they let Peter Brown go.
Yep.
And then they says, Gary, we're going to move you to drive time.
And the rest is history.
Who do you want with you? Well, do I get to choose? I don't know anything. Yeah, just who do you want with you? Who do you think can work with you? Okay. He goes, well, I got some guys coming in from Michigan. That was, of course, who was our program director then? Do you remember his name? That guy.
That would have been Ryan McGuire.
Ryan McGuire.
Yeah.
I got some guys coming in from Michigan. One of them you probably would like. One of them is very opinionated. That wouldn't make it on your nerve, i.e. Mike Wicket. The other guy, he goes, you'll like a lot because he's just a good sports dude. Can I tell you who reminds me of this guy, of Josh Vernon, just a little bit?
Who?
Plucker.
That's a big compliment, Plucker. That is.
Plucker does.
Vernier, I mean, really, Vernier, I've always admired Josh just as a host.
Yes.
And just the way he always did the show. I mean, you know, in college, I'd listen to you guys all the time before I started interning with you. And I was always impressed with how well of a lead host Josh Vernier was.
He was a dude.
Yes.
And Pluck has some of those qualities.
Some of those dude qualities?
Yeah, he does have some of those dude qualities. He's had some of those. So, you know, he's still young yet, so still growing. But, I turned the radio on this morning. I heard Bill a little bit and that, and they got me up to here. But I was thinking to myself, yeah, I probably could have came on at 9 and done something. So just keep that in your back pocket when you big guys are making a schedule out.
I'll let Sparky know. I will.
But in the meantime, what are we talking about today, Joe?
All right, well, it's our turn to weigh in because the other two shows have done it.
They have?
They have, yeah. And really? I just think just something ain't right here. I'm sorry. Something's not right. So we talked about this on, what was it, Tuesday show? We saw Jeremy Fowler. He came out from ESPN. And he interviewed all these executives and scouts and coaches, and he compiled all their opinions and all their rankings, and then he put it into a little machine, and it spit out top 10. And he did it with the quarterbacks, he did it with the running backs, he did it with wide receivers. Aaron Rodgers, when it came to quarterbacks, was number 3 on the list. Best quarterbacks heading into the 2020 season, which was a bit of a surprise for a lot of people because I think a lot of people listening still think Aaron Rodgers has it, but is he top 3 in the league? Well, that was up for controversy. So Fowler did the same thing with running backs, and he also did it with wide receivers. So, Gary, I don't know which one you want to go with first, but both of them, to me, I take issue with. So what do you want to go with first?
It doesn't matter.
All right, so let's start with what I think is more controversial, and that's the running backs.
Okay.
So by conducting this same poll that Jeremy Fowler did, interviewing all these guys and getting all their opinions and having their rankings, here are the top 10 running backs heading into the 2020 season. Number 1, or should I start with number 10?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
All right, let's go number 10. Number 10, okay. Le'Veon Bell with the Jets. Number 9 is Josh Jacobs. Number 8 is Joe Mixon. Nick Chubb comes in at number 7. Dalvin Cook is sixth. Derrick Henry at five. Alvin Kamara at four. Zeke Elliott at three. Christian McCaffrey at number two. And the number one running back in this poll, Saquon Barkley. Now, there's one guy missing, and we all know who it is. It's your running back for the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Jones. He was not listed in the top 10 here. And I don't know. The first thing that I can think of, Gary, is to why Aaron Jones.
Just one more time. Give me that list again now.
Okay.
Start it again.
10, Le'Veon Bell. 9, Josh Jacobs. 8, Joe Mixon. Nick Chubb at 7. Dalvin Cook, 6. Derrick Henry, 5. Alvin Kamara, 4. Zeke Elliott, 3. Christian McCaffrey, 2. Saquon Barkley, number 1.
Okay. All right.
So Aaron Jones is not there. Aaron Jones had a career season last year. We can go through all the stats with him. Not only was he good on the ground, he was good catching the pass. He scored a hell of a lot of touchdowns. And yet, according to this compilation of 50 executive scouts and players, they feel that Aaron Jones is not in the top 10. The only thing I can think of, Gary, as to why that would be the case is because people question his durability. He's a smaller back. He's a quick back, but he's a smaller back, and can his body maintain as we go along here in the next several years? But I'll say this right now, Gary. Aaron Jones has to be in the top 10. He has to. That man earned it last year.
I don't know what they're doing here. I mean, it's about production. For me, Derrick Henry is too low at 5.
Agreed. I agree with that, too.
He's the best running back in the league last year in front of Saquon Barkley. I got him in front. Saquon Barkley, he got his 1, right?
Yes, number 1.
Production-wise, it's got to be Derrick Henry. Don't you think?
I think personally.
I mean, I don't have any numbers. I mean, I'm just going out by what I know, running backs, production. That Derrick Henry down the line, I mean, those last 4 or 5 weeks, he was a grown-ass man. Titans got in the playoffs was because of him.
Derrick Henry rushed for 1,500-plus yards last season. And he also had 200 receiving yards in that, as well as 16 rushing touchdowns. Yeah, Derrick Henry was pretty incredible last year for Tennessee. I've got all the numbers, Gary. So whatever numbers you need from any of these running backs, I've got every possible stat you want right here. But you know what? I disagree about Henry being number 1. I think it's Christian McCaffrey.
Okay, yeah, I get down with that.
Like, he had over 1,000 rushing yards, and he had over 1,000 receiving yards. I mean, he was just a monster last year.
I would agree with that. I would go McCaffrey first.
Okay. So
I would do that. But did they make the playoffs?
The Panthers, no. They kind of fell apart.
No. So I can go either way on that, but McCaffrey last year had a phenomenal year, right?
Right.
But the drive to the playoffs was led by Derrick Henry. Single-handedly put that team on his back and took them. Now, they had other weapons too. Well, I mean, you look at Carolina, it was just about McCaffrey, and I think that's hard to do when, you know, everybody knows you're getting the ball rushing or receiving. But at the end of the day, either one won two for me. But I think it means more when you make it to the playoffs. Sometimes numbers can be, dare I say, empty numbers, and you just got these numbers and your team don't do well. You look at Derrick Henry numbers, they were big numbers, and you understood why his team got to the playoffs. I mean, Tannehill wasn't the greatest guy in the world. I mean, he made some plays.
He wasn't bad. I'll give him that. He wasn't bad.
Right. He wasn't bad, but he wasn't the reason why. Let's say this. Tannehill wasn't the reason why they were in the playoffs. But he also wasn't the reason why they didn't make the playoff either. So it could go either way with Tannehill.
Okay. So
does that make sense to you?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So as we go through this list, because I was kind of thinking about like my top 5 when it comes to the running backs. Like, I think I would go McCaffrey, then I would go Derrick Henry, then I would go Zeke Elliott. And then after that, I think Dalvin Cook and Nick Chubb are ranked a little bit too low. Like, I think both of those guys should be in the top five for me. I would put them ahead of Saquon Barkley. Like, Dalvin Cook especially. I think Dalvin Cook is, he's a hell of a talent. I mean, the Vikings.
Yeah, but Dalvin Cook got hurt last year. So that knocks him down a little bit to me.
Wasn't that 2 years ago?
No, he got hurt last year as well.
I got to double check that. I mean, Dalvin Cook did rush for over 1,000 yards last year and had 13 touchdowns. He caught 53 passes for 519 yards as well. It's pretty dynamic.
What's his, what's his number compared to our guy's number?
To Aaron Jones?
Yes.
Okay. So looking at it, so again, Dalvin Cook last season.
Because they're kind of the same running back.
Dalvin Cook, again, had 1,100 rushing yards. He had 13 rushing touchdowns. And then he also had 519 receiving yards. No touchdowns. If you go down to Aaron Jones, if I can find him. I always hate these like long, long lists. And then you're searching, searching, searching. Aaron Jones, though, he had over 400 receiving yards. So his numbers were 1,084 rush yards, 16 rushing touchdowns, and 474 receiving yards with 3 receiving touchdowns. I mean, he's right there with Dalvin Cook. He's right there. So when I'm looking at my top 5, top 10, Aaron Jones, to me, has to be at least 8, 7 or 8. He's got to be right there, considering how well he was playing with some of these other running backs. I think, personally, Le'Veon Bell should not be in the top 10, and he came in number 10. Le'Veon Bell missed a whole season, then came back with the Jets and wasn't the same back. He wasn't. Right. Now, granted, the Jets sucked, but he did not do really anything last year. Josh Jacobs, who comes in at number 9 on this list, Gary, impressive rookie season for the Raiders. I mean,
no, he did. He's a hammer. He's another. He's a hammer now.
Yeah, I think he deserves to be on this list. Joe Mixon, though,
no,
I'd say I take Aaron Jones over Joe Mixon.
Yes, I don't know what these guys be thinking they'd be doing this list.
Perhaps they're assuming that Joe Mixon's going to be even better next season with maybe a slightly better offense.
Are they trying to project out? Is that what they're trying to do?
I think that's what it is because, again, Saquon Barkley, I think we can agree where the potential is in Saquon Barkley about what he could be. And he had a pretty good season last year for a mediocre Giants team.
Right.
But I think if I'm still putting my money on someone, if I had to choose between Saquon Barkley and, say, Christian McCaffrey, who's going to have the better season in 2020, I'm going Christian McCaffrey all day, every day. He's that good, and he's proven that. So I'm not really... I mean, Gary, you can't sit here and say that Aaron Jones could have a down season in 2020. Like, well, I mean, unless he gets hurt.
Right.
But I think Aaron Jones, based on the line of work that he put together last season.
Aaron Jones may be even better this year than he was last year because he's got A.J. Dillon to go along with him. Last year, he didn't really have a running partner. He kind of did it on his own. If they can do a 1-2 punch, add Dillon there, he can be even more explosive than what he was last year.
Well, and the other thing, too, about Aaron Jones is, you can get really creative with them and you can split them out wide. I mean, remember that game against the Chiefs last year where he had over 150 receiving yards and he had like that 67-yard touchdown?
You'll see more of that from him this year that way.
Yeah. That just adds to his credibility.
Right.
It does. So at 414-799-1250, and we'll get to the wide receiver rankings coming up on the other side, but How do you feel about Aaron Jones not being in the top 10, according to what Jeremy Fowler put out on ESPN with the executives, the players, scouts, guys that he interviewed? He compiled a list, put it all into one thing, and he created this top 10, and Aaron Jones is missing. Davante Adams, on the other hand, we'll get to him on the other side. Should he be a top 5 receiver? He's Gary Ellerson. I'm Radio Joe. Wendy's Big Show continues right after this. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. I'm Radio Joe in for Sparky, alongside former Packer running back Gary Ellerson. Gary, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. What kind of good deals do they got over there?
Guys, they got great deals going on every single day at Pella. I mean, here's the thing. You know, it's kind of warm outside right now, right? And you got your air conditioning on, and it worked both ways. I mean, if you've got the door that's squeaky and leaky, and we had some big rainstorms, and now you got water coming inside your door, you got wind coming inside your door. Well, my good friends over at Pella Windows and Doors, they can take care of that. They can help you out with that, guys. Pella helps you focus on fun with family and friends by offering you the freedom of no first payment for 5 months, and then 48 months with no interest. Or maybe you really need to replace, which I was just talking about, that squeaky, leaky entry door or sticky patio door. So instead, here's what you can do, folks. Choose $1,000 off an entry door or patio door system. It's your choice. 48 months, no interest, and 5 months, no first payment, or $1,000 off an entry or patio door system. Guys, you can't beat it. These offers will end July 31st. Go check them out now or stop in or set up a free in-home or virtual consultation today at PellaWI.com.
414-799-1250 asking you guys, after seeing Aaron Jones not ranked in the top 10 in Jeremy Fowler's list of the best running backs heading into 2020, where do you think he should be ranked? Or do you feel that he's not a top 10 running back and he still has more to prove? Again, just going through the top 10 list that was put together. Again, it was a compilation between executives, scouts, and players. The number one running back listed headed into 2020 was Saquon Barkley, then Christian McCaffrey at number two, Zeke Elliott at three, Alvin Kamara at four, Derrick Henry five, Dalvin Cook six, Nick Chubb seven, Joe Mixon eight, Josh Jacobs number nine, Le'Veon Bell at 10. 414-799-1250. Now, before we get to the phones, Gary, I want to go through the top 10 wide receivers. So, the good news is Davante Adams is listed in this top 10, but here's where he is placed. So at number 10 is Amari Cooper for the Cowboys. Chris Godwin, who had a huge year for the Buccaneers, breakout year, he comes in at number 9. Keenan Allen of the Chargers at number 8. Davante at number 7. Mike Evans comes in at number 6, another Buccaneers receiver. Quite the tandem down there in Tampa. Tyreek Hill at number 5. Odell Beckham Jr. comes in at number 4. And then at 3 is DeAndre Hopkins. 2 is Michael Thomas. And number 1, Julio Jones. So the first question is, Gary, the guy that I'm a little surprised is as high as he is heading into this season is Odell Beckham Jr. at number 4.
Yeah, he didn't do anything last year.
He didn't.
No. He didn't do nothing last year. But that's just name recognition right there.
And see, that's just the thing.
He didn't do anything last year.
See, when I'm looking at putting together my top five, if you're looking at the full body of work for Odell Beckham Jr., including all of his time with the Giants, yeah, I think if you're looking at the full thing,
he's exciting.
He is exciting. He makes some of the craziest catches out there.
Give him that.
Right. But he hasn't found that chemistry yet with Baker Mayfield. I mean, that's not there. Whereas I'll make the argument with Davante Adams that when Aaron Rodgers went down 2 years ago, Davante Adams was working on the field and off the field with Brett Hundley. Mm-hmm. And Davante Adams, he did pretty well with Brett Hundley. I mean, he was able to adjust. And we saw how impressive last season he was when it came to route running, and knowing where he needs to be, and being able to beat these defenders on the line. Not to mention, Davante Adams had that turf toe issue. Remember that turf toe problem, Gary?
Yeah.
You know, we were all worried about, would that hamper Davante Adams? Well, I mean, he missed 4 games, but he came back, and he was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So I'm having a hard time thinking that Odell Beckham Jr. should be in the top five. I'm putting Devontae in my top five. I think for me, he comes in at number five. And I could keep Julio Jones at number one. I think Michael Thomas is certainly number two. He had one of his best seasons.
I think you can flip-flop those for me.
So you go Thomas number one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now. I mean, that joker, I mean, can't guard Mike. I mean, he's awesome right now. I mean, so who – we're doing these top five lists all the time. So who do you have in your top five?
Okay, so for top five wide receivers, I'll go Julio, but I'll say Michael Thomas is a close two.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Tyreek.
I get down. He's dynamic.
You can't catch up with him.
Yeah, so dynamic.
And it doesn't matter who's throwing him the football either.
Yeah, so dynamic.
Yeah, so I'm going to go Tyreek Hill. I'll say DeAndre Hopkins at number four, and I'll be very curious to see what he looks like with Kyler Murray in Arizona.
Yeah, maybe different. We'll see.
Yeah. And then number five for me is Davante Adams.
See, you and I are close. Mike Thomas for me is number one.
Okay.
Julio Jones is number two for me.
Okay.
Tyreek Hill is number three. DeAndre Hopkins is number four. And then Davante Adams is number five for me.
So we're right about there. Just flip-flop one and two.
Right.
Okay. 414-799-1250. Where do you think Davante Adams should rank? Where do you think Aaron Jones should rank? Let's go to Hunter in Philadelphia. Hunter, you're on the Wendy's Big Show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Pretty good, buddy.
Hey, so I have a few points here.
Go ahead.
Start with the running back. Gary, you talked about this. Before we start talking about Aaron Jones, Derrick Henry is criminally underrated.
I mean, criminally, you're right about
guy,
that,
they,
boss.
They, that guy is a Ferrari in a monster truck package. That
guy, they
knew he was running the ball every down, and he would still run it through their throat. And he single-handedly got Ryan Tannehill a new deal.
Yeah, he did.
Like, Ryan Tannehill, I mean, he played all right, but, I mean, he signed a big deal just because he's handing the ball off to Derrick Henry every down.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I put him in my top two. But Aaron Jones, I'd say I like where you guys put him around eight, around seven. I think he's better than Jacobs. Jacobs was banged up a little last year. Great rookie year. But I put him above Jacobs, probably above Mixon. But where I really have a problem is the wide receivers. I think Devontae for me, and you guys will disagree with this, I put Devontae at three or four. I think he's a better receiver than Tyreek Hill. I think he's more complete. I think his footwork, I mean, his footwork is probably the best in the league. Odell being four is a joke, complete joke. So I'd probably put Devontae around three or four. I put Julio. I put DeAndre Hopkins above him, Mike Thomas, and maybe Mike Evans.
Okay. All right. Fair enough, Hunter. Thanks for the call. Yeah, it's really interesting to look at that and see at Odell Beckham at number four. And I'm going to go back to the running backs for a second, Gary. Because,
come on back, Joe.
Because, I mean, there's no question Derrick Henry is criminally underrated in this list. He comes in at number five. The guy above him, and this is a guy that you and Bart Winkler would go back and forth on this past NFL season, okay? And that's Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara had a down year last year.
Had a bad year last year. Well, you know why?
Because they figured him out?
No.
Why?
Ingram. He didn't have a running mate. Mark Ingram, when he left, that hurt Alvin Kamara. Because then Kamara's got to do more stuff.
Makes him more one-dimensional, sure.
Right, he's got to do more stuff. I mean, well, he does everything like McCaffrey, okay? They're the same kind of guy. Aaron Jones, same kind of guy. But when you that's why I say Aaron Jones' numbers will take off this year if A.J. Dillon is that good. Because now you can, what you just talked about, he's your slot guy. Now you got both of them in the backfield together. I mean, you can do so many different things with him right now. That's why he'll be a better back. A lot of people kept saying, well, why do we take this guy? Why? Because not that he's going to take any carries from him. He's going to make that offense a little bit more creative in what they're trying to do.
But can I say this? Who's Christian McCaffrey's running mate in Carolina?
He doesn't have one.
And he's able to do it all himself.
Yeah, he doesn't have one.
Kamara should have dropped on this list big time. But now the question is, are you still, if you had to choose between Aaron Jones and Alvin Kamara, Gary, are you going with Alvin Kamara? I hope.
If I have to choose between who now?
Alvin Kamara and Aaron Jones. I hope Bart Winkler's listening, by the way.
If I'm going between, Kamara's a better back.
Okay.
All day long. I mean, today he is.
Okay.
I mean, that he could pass him up, but right now Kamara's the better back right now.
But
Aaron Jones has a lot of potential to be that, but he's not that right now.
But how far is he from Kamara?
Well, we'll find out this year.
Okay.
Those running backs is a lot about longevity. I mean, you read, I don't know if you've been reading a lot about Ezekiel Elliott over the offseason here. Everybody's saying that he's slowing down. He's not what he was, you know, a couple years ago.
He's got coronavirus, too.
Well, that's what happens. Well, not that they get coronavirus, but that's what happens to running backs. They can have a good 2-3 years, and that's it. I mean, they still can play in the league, but their peak, that's why it's tough paying these guys a lot of money, because when you pay a running back, Joe, mostly you're paying a running back for what he has already done, not for what he is going to do for you.
Right.
Because a running back at his peak has already done what he has already done, meaning that he was at his peak. He might have another year like that, but he won't have 2-3 more. Only special guys can do that. And a lot of these guys are not special. Like Le'Veon Bell was a really good back, but he wasn't. And special, what do I mean by special, Joe? You're talking about like Walter Payton special, right?
Right.
You're talking Emmitt Smith special. You're talking Barry Sanders special. Them guys are special, okay? Them guys are Hall of Fame. That's what I'm talking about when special. Then you have a lot of other guys, excuse me, who can come in and give you a good 3 years, and then that's it. Them guys played a long time, and they remained at a high level. We'll see how long Ezekiel Elliott can go for.
Yeah, and the weird thing, too, is, I mean, you're looking at, I will say this, like right now in the NFL, this is a tremendous crop of running backs. Just even after you get out of the top 10, there are a lot of really good running backs, mm-hmm. but they're all in their early to mid 20s.
Right.
And it's like, how many of these guys are going to be able to crack 30 and still be able to play at a level that's pretty similar to what they're doing right now? I mean, it is so hard for that. I mean, there's only two guys in the league that continue to blow my mind, one of which is Adrian Peterson, who can still play. And I just don't know how Frank Gore is doing it. I don't know how that man...
Well, Frank Gore is not at his peak anymore, though.
He's right? not, but he's no. still playing. I mean...
He's still playing.
Yeah. It is a rarity nowadays, and I'll be interested to see, as we talk about some of these great running backs right now, like a Christian McCaffrey, how long can he last in this league? How long can he go? I mean, I don't know, but I have a lot of faith in Aaron Jones this year, and you're right, Gary. If A.J. Dillon, depending on how much he's utilized in this offense, that could be a huge, huge difference in how well Aaron Jones is this season. I totally
agree.
Really
can be.
Yep.
Really can be.
Totally agree. 414-799-1250. We can continue on this. Aaron Jones unranked in the top 10, according to ESPN. Davante Adams comes in at number 7. Where do you think these guys should be ranked? We can talk more about that coming up on the other side. Also, the Bucks. They are in Orlando. We have video proof. We have pictures. Their practice schedule's coming out. We'll go through that. And also coming up here in about 10 minutes or so, Ross Tucker, our NFL insider, radio.com NFL insider. He will be joining us on the Wendy's Big Show as well. Stay tuned for all that. He's Gary Ellerson. I'm Radio Joe. More of the Wendy's Big Show next here on The Fan.
It's time for the Beauforting Sports Buzz of the Day, where we discuss today's most buzzworthy sports story, brought to you by Milwaukee's most buzzed about beverage, 100% natural Beauforting beer. Go all natural and drink in the boff.
That's right. Wendy's Big Show continues here on The Fan in the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. I'm Radio Joe. Gary Ellerson, the former Packer running back, and now leaping his way into the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios is Leroy Butler. We'll get Leroy's thoughts on Aaron Jones and Davante Adams and where they should rank coming up here in just a sec. But this is the Sports Buzz of the Day. I don't know if you guys saw yesterday on social media from the Milwaukee Bucks. They posted some pictures. You saw Giannis, Chris Middleton. The Lopez brothers were dressed up in all Mickey Mouse shirts and stuff because they're big Disney freaks. But they are now down in Orlando. They're in the bubble. And their first practice, the first team practice, will be tomorrow at 12 o'clock Central Time. So it's good. It's good to see. Good to hear. Gives you a little hope. And hopefully that hope lives on for the Bucks and the NBA as the season and campaign continues here for the Bucks. So Leroy Butler is with us now. And Leroy, we were talking about Aaron Jones. He was not ranked in ESPN's top 10 best running backs heading into the 2020 season. Davante Adams came in at number 7. Asking you, where do you think both of those guys should be ranking in your mind?
Well, I think your list, it depends on how you're putting it. You're putting it as your favorite player, or you're putting it as eye test or fantasy. Those are three different, totally different lists. If you look at my fantasy numbers, I mean, if you want to deal with Aaron Jones first, he didn't make the Pro Bowl. Because if you look in the NFC, I thought the last spot to make the Pro Bowl would be between him and Ezekiel Elliott. Those guys got name ID. I mean, that's what the Pro Bowl is all about. But production, if you're saying he's in the top 10, then that means you want the Packers to pay him $15 million a year. And then that goes to show you then things kind of change. Because you would think if he's going to score 19 touchdowns again, I mean, it speaks for itself. But I try to caution people not to get upset with these lists and top fives and tens, because you don't have to make none of these. You don't have to make none of these lists to get paid. You don't. You don't even need to make the Pro Bowl to get paid. Because I think if you're Aaron Jones, you would like to see your name in a top 10 anything, because if the Packers are looking at this kind of stuff, it'll make them think that you're worth that kind of money. But that's the difference between a transition player and a franchise player as well. But you would think that the kid in Carolina is the supreme platinum guy, and Michael Thomas, those two guys I think should be at everybody's list, at the top of everybody's list, because of production. And each week you have two guys on these guys, and they still put up numbers. Julio Jones has been doing this for a long time. Matter of fact, Julio Jones was drafted the same reason why, what, Gary, to beat the Green Bay Packers. They trade up and got rid of a lot of guys just to get this guy. And his production has been out of this world. But I would think that, you know, and I think Gary makes a great point with running backs. Your window is only open for so long.
Right.
You know, because you remember at one point Gurley was the top back, you know, with production, catching, running, and everything. And then he got hurt. And the next thing you know, they go to a Super Bowl. They don't even use him. They bring in a guy, a journeyman, to take his spot. So that's the kind of thing you got to capitalize when you're there. So if you're Aaron Jones and you're thinking about getting a contract, if you're top 10, great. But if you look in the NFC alone, the one guy with name ID, Joe and Gary, that's on everybody's list is Saquon Barkley. But he's been banged up. He's been hurt. And he's playing on the worst team in the league. But he still has name ID. As a matter of fact, his name ID is so good, he made the all-decade team in the Big Ten when it should have been three backs from the Badgers. Is that bias? Maybe. But the facts are, it just comes down to how good your team is, how good you can make your team. So you would think, where Aaron Jones having 19 touchdowns, that kind of production, and his team won 13 games, he would be in everybody's top five, not top 10. But a lot of people don't see it that way.
He's Leroy Butler, Gary Ellerson alongside. I'm Radio Joe. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we'll ask Ross Tucker, our Radio.com Sports NFL insider.
Oh, Ross, keep it 100.
Oh, he will keep it 100. And honestly, it's like we could do 4 hours with Ross because we have so many different things to ask him.
Well, but he went to Princeton. I mean, you would think he's a smart guy.
He's a pretty smart guy. So Ross Tucker will join us next. Quick break, and we'll be right back here on the Wendy's Big Show. Wendy's Big Show continues here on The Fan in the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios, GeneWagnerPlumbing.com for all of your plumbing needs. Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, Dan Plucker, our executive producer. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola filling in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. We are efforting Ross Tucker, our radio.com sports NFL insider, supposed to be joining us here anytime now. But, you know, Ross is a really busy guy, and he does pretty much everything these days. I mean, and he's a really good follow on Twitter as well. And it looks like we got him now. And joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline and all insider calls here on The Fan are brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference podcast series, available on radio.com/Dell. Welcome in, friend of the show, Ross Tucker. Ross, what's going on?
Hey, how are you guys? I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
So we have like a million things to ask you, Ross. I'm just going to start off by this. I don't know if you saw ESPN's rankings that they put together after asking all these different executives and scouts about who their top 10 players were heading into the season. Are you surprised Aaron Jones isn't a top 10 running back according to the list?
You know, I got to pull it up again and look at it off the top of my head. Yes.
I've got the list for you.
Give him the list, Joe.
I got the list. So here's what we got. Number one, Saquon Barkley. Two, Christian McCaffrey. Three, Zeke Elliott. Alvin Kamara at four. Derrick Henry at five. Dalvin Cook at six. Nick Chubb comes in at seven. Joe Mixon, eight. Josh Jacobs, nine. And Le'Veon Bell rounds out the top ten.
Yeah, I mean, I think Aaron Jones in the mix with those guys. Hearing that, I'd probably have him around 9 or 10. I'd have him above Jacobs or Le'Veon Bell. And I think from about 5 to 8, you know, it, to me it's like 6 in one hand, half dozen the other, from like 5 to 8. So that's the one where, you know, I can see why they have Joe Mixon and Dalvin Cook ahead of him, but if it was flipped the other way, I don't think people would freak out. You know, like, to stand out to me, I think Nick Chubb is really, really good. So him at seven makes it such that I don't know that, you know, people should be in uproar about Aaron Jones. I think Aaron Jones should be in the top 10. I think he should probably be 8, 9, or 10. I don't think he's better than Nick Chubb. So I'd probably have him 8, 9, or 10 based on that. I would have Derrick Henry lower because he doesn't do much for me in the passing game. And probably have guys like Aaron Jones and even Nick Chubb ahead of him.
Also, Ross, you look at the Ivy League come out maybe a couple of days ago. They're always ahead of the curve saying no fall sports at all this year. What do you think went into that decision? Then you look at what happened with the Big Ten, these other conferences yesterday, saying they will probably only play within their conference.
Well, I'll start with the Ivy League, Gary, and I'm not surprised. You know, they are always going to do whatever the spectrum is of risk to caution. They're always going to be the furthest conference to the caution side, right? Their reputation is based on their academics. They know that. And I think they almost on some level take pride in that, right? That they will be the safest, and it's like their little way of saying, yeah, we've got good athletes, but academics are still the priority here. That's why we're the Ivy League, blah, blah, blah. You guys know I played at Princeton, played in the Ivy League, so I know it well. So I get it. The one thing I would caution people on, even though it's not the big money maker like it is in the Big Ten or the SEC, it's still a pretty big deal in the sense that, you know, when Princeton plays Harvard or Yale, that's the most alums they get back on campus. They have all kinds of different events that are surrounding those things for donations. So while it's not 80,000 people all paying all that money, there are some financial considerations, especially when it comes to donations and alumni events. As for the Big Ten, I think that they're in a tough spot. I think all of college football is in a tough spot now, because if you are the Big Ten commissioner or the ADs, what's the argument now when someone says, hey, the Ivy League canceled the season or at least postponed till the spring out of an abundance of caution, even though, by the way, you don't even have to fly to any of the games. You just drive from, you know, Harvard to Yale or Yale to Princeton. Why aren't you guys postponing the season? And the answer is really money, but they can't really come out and say that, right? I mean, I think the Ivy League has put these other conferences in a pretty tough spot.
Yeah, Ross, I wanted to ask you this. Last time we had you on, when you said that was one of your pickup lines about telling your young lady from Princeton, that was hilarious. Why don't more athletes from the HBCU or the Ivy League or get more opportunities in professional sports? What's the issue with that? Because a young man, Maker, he's going to go to, I think, Howard, one of the HBCUs. He signed with. Yeah, and he's a great player, but he wants to see more players, you know, go to HBCUs and more. And then if you go to, like, your school, Princeton or Harvard, or, and you're a great player, why don't the top recruiters in the NBA or the NFL scout, why don't they scout those schools more for talent?
It's interesting because they are doing it more than they ever did before. I mean, when I came out, so nobody from Princeton had even gotten in a camp from 93 to 2001 other than, you know, Keith Elias was in the NFL for a while as a special teamer until I came out. Now, I think last year there was five or six Princeton guys, the double-digit Harvard guys. You think about, like, Juszczyk and the, you know, fullback for the Niners and Ryan Fitzpatrick. There are more Ivy League guys in the NFL than any other FCS, you know, the one old 1AA conference. And it's because they're recruiting so well right now. The financial aid is so good that kids that have Power 5 scholarships, you know, depending on how much money their parents make, they can go to these Princeton or Harvard for very little money or in some cases none, and they're saying that's worth it. So it's actually better than it's ever been, and because of that, more guys are getting opportunities than they ever have. The issue, though, is, like, if I'm just being real, right? I'm glad I went to Princeton. It was great. But if Stanford offered me a full ride, I wouldn't have gone to Princeton. If Northwestern offered me a full ride. In other words, like the guys that are Duke, you know, Vanderbilt, the guys that are academically oriented, if you're the best of those guys are usually going to go to one of the Power Five schools that have really good academics. And, oh, by the way, you get to go to school for free and play in front of 100,000 people and play against Clemson and FSU, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of those guys end up, you know, the best of the best at that level go to the Stanford, Northwestern, Duke types of schools.
And, oh, by the way, while we talk about those types of schools, a lot of people were, I guess, a little disappointed because the Big Ten City only going to play, and they're not going to play non-conference.
In the conference.
Yeah, but, well, Wisconsin had a key matchup this year with Notre Dame. So what does that leave Notre Dame with their schedule if everybody's going to bail on them and stay within their conference?
So I guess the ACC is going to try to take care of them. They already have a bunch of ACC games on the schedule because they're ACC for all of the other sports. And so the ACC highly values their relationship with Notre Dame. And, you know, part of their deal of being in the ACC is I think they have to play four or five ACC games a year. Right. I think what they'll do is they'll try to pick up, if Notre Dame loses the rest of those games, they'll try to give Notre Dame five or six more games in the ACC if it comes to that, and they'll probably love it. You know, I mean, the ACC, we get every week we get Notre Dame against going against one of our schools in a nationally televised game on NBC or whatever. So I think that's what will happen is Notre Dame will essentially play an all-conference ACC schedule. But what's weird about that is, like, they're not really in the conference for football, so they can't win it. So, like, they go undefeated, and they're like, hey, congrats, you beat all of us, but you're not in the conference, so you win nothing. And you're like, what is weird is, like, are they going to have the bowl games? Are they going to have college football playoff? Like, how do you know who the best team is for college football playoff if there's been no non-conference games? If they've only played against themselves?
That's true.
Maybe the conference just stinks that year.
And I think that's how you rate how good the conference is. Because the SEC said if we have somebody win this, everybody, you know, in their mind think that's the best conference. But the Big Ten would disagree with that. But, Ross, I want to ask you a question because your name came up in the barbershop, whether you know it or not. This is actually last year because I heard this problem may come up before the coronavirus hit. And it was that what if the owners to get the CBA done, which they got done, if they came back and said what they did say, we want to put 35% of the salaries in an escrow just in case for some fall off here or there. And I said, man, you know what? I would love for a guy like Ross Tucker, who's very smart, and a very measured guy, and a guy like Troy Vincent get together and just kind of talk about what you think can happen. So if they do that, do you think it'll be you don't think it'll be a work stoppage over, but how do they get that on the same page? Because we're going to ask Andrew Brandt about that. How do they get this on the same page with this money?
Yeah, so here's the deal, right? The NFL is in a very different position than baseball because the NFL, as you guys know, already has a revenue sharing agreement.
Exactly.
So if they lose $4 billion this year because there's no fans, the players are going to feel that pain. I mean, they're going to feel that pain because the salary cap's not going to go up as much as it's supposed to next year. And in fact, if they lose as much money as some people are projecting this year, what happens is they'll just smooth the cap out over the next 10 years as opposed to what it's supposed to. I mean, it's been going up about $10 million a year. Instead, it might just go up, you know, $2 million a year or, you know, $1 million a year, whatever it is. They'll smooth it out over the course of the deal. I think what the owners are asking for with this 35% escrow is, hey, let's put this in escrow and we'll see how bad the season is, how much money we lose, and then we can sort of take the pain of what happens this year now as opposed to smoothing it out. Players don't really have an interest in that. I don't blame them. They'd rather smooth out the cap and not have the same type of gains in future years than allow the owners to potentially, you know, use that 35% this year to offset the loss of revenue. And really, so the question to me, too, is it just offsetting the loss of revenue, or do they want the players to have to help out with some of the cost of the testing and all the costs, the increased costs they're going to be a part of this season, which to me, that's the part I laugh at, because the players don't participate when the franchise values skyrocket every year. People say, well, the owners deserve that. The owners are taking the risk. Look, I get it. I got a couple small businesses. I totally, totally get it. But then the flip side is true when people say they're the ones taking all the risk. Well, I got news for you, bro. This is the risk. Hey, welcome to the risk. It's a virus. It's a pandemic.
Right.
You have to pay for all the testing for the guys this year. That's
right.
Part of what goes along with owning a business. You take into account the risk that happens, and so they're going to have to eat it this year. But that's, you know, they get it on the other end when they can sell their franchise for $4 billion when they bought it for $300 million like 12 years ago.
So it's good if Patrick Mahomes signed this deal this year, then next year then. Because he can go off this year's numbers at the front of it, but if those numbers change in the future, then they can adjust it a little bit. His contract's kind of weird, though, some of the language, but a smart guy like you know it. But how would that cap in the future if it goes down? Because maybe we can't have fans next year and the cap goes down a little bit, but although they're supposed to put money in it, but if there's no fans, how do they adjust that?
Well, right. So what they do is, you know, they just what they call smooth it out over time, so that, 'cause to try to account for all the money that they lost. I'm really surprised that the Mahomes deal came through. Yeah. I think that the Chiefs wanted to kind of, I don't want to say capitalize, but with the uncertainty, I think that they wanted to say, hey, we'll give you this deal right now. You know, I know a lot of people, and Andrew Brandt's one of them, and whatever, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, that they'll say he should have just waited, and then he could have been a franchise tag for 1 year, franchise tag again, then he's a free agent. You know, that always makes me laugh, because it's always the people that aren't actually out there inside the white lines getting hit that want you to just go year to year like that. Like, hey, that sounds sweet, except the year I was going to be a free agent, I started 13 games. I had a herniated disc in my back, and I had to have surgery after the season, right? Oh, or later in my career, it'd be great if I did year to year, except when I herniated a disc in my neck and bruised my spinal cord on the wedge against the Ravens. You know what people are not looking for? To give big contracts to a dude with a bruised spinal cord, okay? So that always makes me laugh. When just do it year to year. Oh, year to year. Yeah, right. Yeah. So what he didn't want is I don't think Mahomes wanted to have to do the franchise tag thing and have it hanging over his head like Cousins did or Dak has. I just don't think he wanted that. You know, he wanted a lot of money. He's getting a lot of money. He wanted to know he's going to be in Kansas City. He wanted to let the Chiefs be able to plan around him because they know how much money he is each year forever. And by the way, here's the other argument, guys. Everybody keeps saying it's a good deal for the Chiefs, great deal for the Chiefs. Well, if it's a great deal for the Chiefs, then they're probably not going to cut him, right? So if they're not going to cut him, then you're going to get $477 million for 12 years. That's pretty good. I think it's a good deal for Mahomes. And oh, by the way, let's just say they do. Let's say they do cut him after 5 years or 7 years. Well, then that's what everybody wanted, right? Everybody said, oh, take a shorter deal. He should only take like a 5-year deal. Well, if they cut him,
there you
then
go.
It's the same difference. And he's a free agent, which is whatever they want him to be in the first place.
Right.
Yes.
He is Ross.
I got one more, Ross.
You should be commissioner.
Well, he should be. Ross, last one. Best guess. Best guess, Ross, because we all don't know. Maybe you have more insight.
Well, Ross knows. Trust me, he knows.
Best guess, Ross. Will we have college football this year?
No, I don't think so. Mm. No, I feel pretty good about the NFL. I think it's an easy argument to make that these are paid professionals, it's their livelihood, and they're willing to take that risk because of the money that it generates for their families. I would take the risk. I'm guessing you guys would as well.
Yep.
The argument falls apart when you're talking about college student athletes. I mean, I live in Pennsylvania. I literally saw today Micah Parsons, who's a projected top 5 pick. He's Penn State's best player. He's awesome linebacker and their safety. They both tweeted, you know, well, we're the ones taking the risk. Shouldn't we be getting some money, the money that comes from this? I just think it becomes, because here's the deal. It's not like those guys are going to lose their scholarships. So what are they really playing for? I mean, they're playing just to play. And there's a lot of guys that would do it because they love football and they want to play or whatever. But it just becomes a really tough argument for the ADs to make, for the conference commissioners to make. And you might have, I mean, look, you're going to have some NFL guys that opt out because they don't think it's worth it. Like we've seen in baseball and the NBA, and that's totally their right to do. I mean, and these are guys getting a lot of money to play. So if you can opt out like that, you're going to have college kids that are opt out and be like, hey, if I get to keep my scholarship and not have to play, and, you know, because even forget like going out there with the virus, you know, it's like you're getting paid to play an NFL season without having to get wear and tear on your body or get beat up. So it just becomes a really, really difficult argument to have college kids out there. The thing that's funny to me is like, they don't really want to be flying the field hockey team all over the place and all these other small sports.
They can't come out and say,
yeah, no fall sports. Island football, we need the money. I mean, you guys want to make me Big Ten commissioner? I'll make the argument, but it's a bad one. I'm just telling you, it's not a good one. I'd much rather be on the other side of that bad boy.
Yeah, crazy stuff. He is Ross Tucker, our radio.com sports NFL insider, friend of the show. Always a pleasure, Ross. Thank you so much, and have a good weekend.
All right, see you, dudes.
All right, and Ross joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Is your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935, and all insiders, radio.com insiders, brought to you by the Dell Technology Small Business Podference podcast series, available on radio.com/Dell. Yeah, that radio.com app is free. Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, you heard what Ross Tucker had to say there. He doesn't think a college football season is going to happen this year. Do you? Wendy's Big Show continues right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.